cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Wedding Central. I'm actually on my own today. So I've got no Ntombi. I'm flying solo. And I've got, well, I'm not on my own, I shouldn't say. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Carly de Villiers, and I'm sure you've been listening to us on a number of our other shows. But today I've got the fabulous Caliente. I'm Charis from Caliente. She is a dance choreographer. And I think it's one of the most nerve-wracking parts of the wedding, I think, a couple go through. Welcome, Charis.
Thanks, Carly, and hello, Joburg.
Well, not just Joburg, we're all over.
Yes, all over, because we're international.
International, whoever decides to listen,
it's so exciting.
So Charis, tell us a little bit about what you do, first of all.
Yes. Oh, this is always a hard one. When anybody asks me, what do I do? Okay, I'm sure you'll get to know by the end of the hour. Mm-hmm. I'm a very passionate, very fiery, very seat of my pants kind of girl. And one of my biggest passions has been social dancing. Mm-hmm. I've been dancing. I always feel very old when I say this because it's close on 2 decades. yes, it makes me feel very old when I say that. But it has been, I started late in Latin and Borum, mm-hmm. and it's purely social. But it is one thing that has literally grasped my soul and taken, and it's a big part of me. And I think a lot of people are scared. Mm. We are not brought up in a society where we dance together.
No.
It's very odd. We bop, you know.
Yeah, we bop and we move from side to side and shuffle.
And we're very aware of our personal space.
Yes.
But to dance with somebody else, to trust, because dancing is all about trust. Mm. It's this intimate relationship that you have with somebody else and letting them into your space. And if you're a control freak like me, and I'm sure if my husband was listening, it's also very hard for us independent women to give over control.
Yes.
And let that trust happen to the other person. And I fell in love with it at the age of 18. Loved it. Was a student. Just because of who I am and I get involved, I land up being a teacher. And then literally 4 months before my wedding, the opportunity came up to buy the studio I was teaching at.
Oh, wow.
So... to my husband's disgust, because he wasn't a dancer when we first met.
Was he never? Never. I've seen him dance, and he is phenomenal.
He's not a dancer at all.
Oh, wow.
So we bought this studio with our honeymoon money. My parents are going, are you sure you want to do this? I think I was 24 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm that crazy person that will just dive in and deal with consequences later and just work through it. And it was one of the biggest things I could... If I hadn't done it, I would have regretted it. Mm. And then I turned around to him and I said, listen, I need male teachers. We're short. Make a plan. Go teach yourself. Go do something.
What does he do by profession?
He is a business analyst.
Oh, wow. And then...
so you can imagine...
Business analyst by day and dance teacher by night.
Yes. And he comes from a very big sport. He was a basketball player, cyclist, runner. He used to walk onto my functions and walk off. He's like... guys don't dance. And that's a perception we've had to fight for the last 20 years is guys don't dance.
But it's changed now.
It has changed.
I mean, I think he loves dance now.
He loves dancing. And it's a big change because of Hollywood. Hollywood has been one of our biggest promoters with the Shall We Dance, the Richard Gere, the Antonio Banderas, all these manly men wanting to dance and showing you can dance, the Strictly Ballrooms.
And making it look quite masculine.
Yes. Because there was
always it's so romantic.
Romantic. Because it's always been seen as when you watch handsy dancing.
That's
you know?
It. And when you watch those movies, you just want to get on with your husband.
Fly and dance and everything. And, you know, it's not easy because I know we've been married together 17 years, married 13 years.
Okay.
And probably for the good first 5-7 years of our marriage, I tend to take the lead.
Okay.
And he wasn't very happy and he didn't like dancing with me because I went into teacher mode constantly.
Yes, okay.
But when you actually give into that other person and you it's unbelievable. The chemistry.
Yeah.
The wow. And people, though, you don't have to be technically brilliant if you have that connection. That is what people are awed at. Yes. And that is what I strive in for wedding dancing.
Yeah.
Because wedding dancing is very different to social and competition dancing.
Mm. So, I mean, it is one of the most important dances a couple will do in their life. So, you know, and it's, I mean, you love dance. Yes. Your husband didn't, but has grown to love dance. So, you know, for couples out there who don't dance and may not like dancing, now to have to be in like the center of attention when it comes to the first dance. When a couple comes to you in the beginning, what is the biggest challenges they face starting out with the actual getting to that hurdle of the first dance?
Fear. And I'm going to generalize because I've had some more eager grooms than I am on sometimes, is the fear of what I'm going to look like. So this was the thing that we saw about 5 to 8 years ago.
And let me stop you there before we go on. There is never a couple that look bad, or they never. Don't. There's the couple, the bride, the groom always looks radiant. Gorgeous. on their wedding day. So I don't understand why it would be what they look like.
It's the perception we build up in our minds.
Yes.
It's very much about that. And you've got this beautiful dress on. He's got the suit on.
Oh, it's just so hot.
It's just the recipe for like romance and gorgeous and magic. And one of the things I always tell my students, because I'm very down to earth, we get down dirty. We get, you know, we get sorted, very hands on. I believe it's dancing is not about steps. It's really not about knowing the steps. It's about how you react with somebody.
Yeah.
And I always say to them, whenever I did competition dancing, my technique is not even close to half of the great dancers. And we have some fantastic South African. Mm. We compete all over the world. We've got some great talent in this country. But you fake it till you make it from the waist up. And if everybody is so involved in what you're about, they don't look at your feet.
No.
Another thing is that I always tell my brides, you're wearing a wedding dress. No one can see your feet. So it doesn't matter if you mess up.
Some couples are so focused on their steps that their face tells a million words. And I keep saying to my couples, when they are, you know, they've gone for dance lessons, please, whatever you do, make sure your face shows your love for each other.
That sells it. No one is going to look at anything else. But if you're going with your face, okay, people are going to know there's a mistake.
I would love to have a video cam in studio and to see Jazz's face.
But it's so true. Most people don't know the difference between a lock and a cha-cha and a twistle burn ball change. They're not going to know the difference. No. They're not going to know your mistake. They don't know your choreography. They don't know your step. So what is the fear? And I think getting them over that first lesson. Mm. And one of the big things that we saw in this trend 5 to 8 years ago is that one thing that I specialize in is that we are in a closed small studio.
Yes.
So one thing I found, and I understand the retail behind it, we need to pack. When we were in social dance students, we had to pack the floor with 3, 4, 5 couples at any one time because our retail time is only between a certain time in the evening.
Yeah.
We don't have a full day environment.
Mm.
And every time I watch these people, because I watch people. Mm. I love watching them and understanding them and makes them tick.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And I understand people from that point of view. It's one of my glorious features that I have. And one thing I noticed is they were, especially my grooms, were very aware of everything else going on around them.
And they weren't focusing on them.
No. And they were worried what other people were thinking, even though no one was actually really watching them.
Mm.
They were very they've got this perception because of preconceived ideas.
Yes.
So I moved into a smaller studio, only one instructor, one couple at any one time.
Mm.
And that immediate, when you walk into the studio, you can feel that immediately.
Yeah.
And you can feel that relax. Mm. And I think what we forget about the dancing, it has to be fun.
Mm.
You make a fool of yourself, laugh it, carry it on, don't be serious about it. It's a fun moment. Things happen. My thing is have fun.
So are you saying for couples going into their first dance and the practicing behind it, it's better to have one-on-one time that yes. versus studio, big studios and things like that. I think it's great for date nights, though.
It's fantastic for date nights. And I've had many couples come back to me and say, we want to do this as a date night because it's intimate.
So awesome.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's one-on-one. And in our busy schedules, we know. We're busy moms. We're busy trying to be good wives,
girlfriends,
fiancés, this and
this. Friends.
We run out of time and we forget about our partners who are a big support in our lives 9 out of 10 times. Yeah. And this one-on-one, even if it's just that hour where you spend just communicating, it doesn't have to be talking, but this communication, I promise,
and that strength, feeling that chemistry, it's so nice.
It's
and
so awesome.
your body against each other, it's like, ooh.
You know what I mean? I always talk about, you know, how to hold your lady, and I always talk about we have two shoulder blades because it's an anatomy thing. One is on the shoulder blade and one is on the lower shoulder blade.
On your bum.
Down. Yeah, that's for later in the evening. We need to be a little bit more formal for the first dance because, you know, you're still daddy's girl because you have to do that daddy-daughter dance afterwards.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Do you often have couples have that? Do you have brides come in for father-daughter dances?
Often.
Because
retinue dances, which is really, really great. And a big thing because they're like, what do I do with my dad? Do you know what I mean? We're just going to stand there and like sway.
Yes.
And I feel like a little bit.
And generally
bit of a,
the dads I find are actually better at dancing than like the daughters because, you know, they've come from maybe like back in the day, everyone used to dance. And here we just go to.
Our moms, our grands, they had dance halls that they went to. They grew up. And this is also why I love Afrikaans couples.
Yes.
Because they're brought in a society.
Oh, they move their brides around the dance floor.
Okay. There's pros and cons to the sokkie.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm a lover of sokkie. And one, either they ruk and druk, literally, but they also understand partnership a little bit better than people that are not used to that partnership dancing.
Yes.
From that point of view, which is very, very exciting.
So when the couples come to you, how often do they, how many lessons would you suggest a couple have before the wedding and how far in advance?
This is a big thing for me. Okay.
The more the merrier, the more the better.
The more the better. But we also, you know, being in the industry, being a designer, being a planner in flowers and whatever, I also understand the dynamics behind a bride.
Mm.
So I always say start earlier. The reason being is that I know that week, that 2 weeks, you know.
Oh, no, it's crazy.
How crazy and over the top everything is and how overwhelming.
And I think that's only a lot of the times where couples have come to us just, you know, just to do their decor styling. And on the day, they realize the two week leading up to the wedding, how crazy a wedding actually is.
It is.
And they say, oh my gosh, we shouldn't have done it all ourselves type of thing.
And they're meeting with the priest and they're meeting with the DJs and the caterers and it's just meeting.
And this one's cancelling this thing and this couple want to add a guest and take away a guest. Yeah, it just becomes a little
bit. And if you're not in a high-paced lifestyle work-wise, it can be very overwhelming to the bride.
Yeah.
Because I've had brides, and I love you to death, all of you, if you're listening, that have come to me a week before the wedding and expect this like,
to
wow.
pull a rabbit out of the hat.
And I love and blame our TV shows.
Yes.
Because in a week,
they transform this couple.
Yes. But they work 8 to 10 hours a day for 7 to 14 days. On the dancing before they actually even get onto the floor.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people don't see that background of it. And then they go, oh no, can we do this in an hour?
And you watch it because they've been watching it on TV for an hour.
But they do it on TV in an hour. I'm like, no. though, you know, I understand with our international brides, and I've had a couple that they simply can't. So we do make that time. And what I'm all about, I'm not about over choreographing the first dance.
Mm.
To me, you need to dance and relate, not over style. And I know I'm going to have a lot of colleagues jump down my throat with this. but I believe in choreography for shows, for all that kind of thing. It's sometimes for certain brides too much.
Yeah.
So I believe in teaching them to dance first. Teaching
and
how
feel
to relate.
Comfortable with each other and their feet and the floor.
We're flat. I'm all open to flat shoes. Dancing your bare feet.
The dress designers are going
to
kill you, Charis.
No. I'll step in just now. just hang on. But to find your feet first.
Yeah.
I find that's very important. If you're starting to dance, And you have to worry about heels. You have to worry about everything else that comes into it. Mm. You're more concentrating on not falling over in your heels. So I say start flat. The last two lessons.
And build yourself up.
And build yourself up. The last two lessons, I insist, both my grooms.
Really? At their shoes as
their
well?
Their shoes. And I'll tell you why. And my brides. Brides are obvious because you have to work walk in it. Grooms are offering in tackies that have a rubber sole. And then when they go to a smart shoe, they're in a leather sole.
So the grip, can be quite slippery.
Yes, yeah? And the grip is very different. Mm. So I normally tell my grooms, and they go, oh, I haven't got my shoes yet.
Yes, there's a lot. They generally, it blew me away the one day. I had a couple that I was having a final meeting with. Like, it was literally a week and a half before the wedding, just to discuss the final details. And we actually met at Cedar Square. So they had colleagues there, and we went to coffee. And the groomsman and the groom walked in. They still didn't have suits, nothing. It was there for...
What is it with our grooms?
10, 15 minutes later, they walked out and it was like, okay, we're done. And I was like, guys have it easy.
They have it terribly easy. So yes. I do recommend, even though I say flats, that is one of my big tips. We do at least 1 to 2 lessons in your shoes.
Okay.
But get your feet first.
Okay.
Get yourself comfortable, because once we've done 1 or 2, you kind of get almost like muscle memory. And then you don't have to think about where your feet are going. Then you can worry about the heels. Yeah. So yes, when we talk about it, also because we've got this experience, I give in a little bit more thoughts. Because another big thing is that we practice, we don't work and dress in wedding gowns every day.
No.
There is no ways that we
wedding
can
gowns are super uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable.
They're heavy.
And
they're long.
And expensive.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to the wear and tear on that.
You know, and one thing I always say to my brides, and they don't really like to hear it, I say to them, wear that dress. Who cares if you step on it and it tears some of the tulle? And you know what? Are you going to wear it again? Maybe you want to sell it. It can be fixed.
Yes.
But you're spending all that money, and it's a hell of a lot of money for one dress that you're only going to wear for a couple of hours. Just enjoy that dress, because if you're constantly worried about who's standing on it, is he standing on it while, you know, it comes
it's,
out
it's
in
a big
your
concern.
Face.
Yeah. So whenever I teach, we also take a lesson. I call it Big Birther.
Big Birther.
It is, you know, just your hooped under petticoat.
So you actually have
a... I have a petticoat that they put on. Because also,
what if
grooms don't understand size and volume.
Yes, okay.
Because there's a big issue.
So do you put it on a lady, even if she's got a very mermaid-y
yes.
type? So,
because I don't want to give away.
Yes.
We normally have a one-on-one secret rendezvous about what's happening with the dress. So I can understand certain moves we can't do because of restrictions.
Maybe it's as tight.
It's tighter. Mm-hmm. What kind of movement is allowed? Is it bustled up at the back? Always remember it will probably drag on the floor. So I give a lot of my grooms tips, like, I know it's not technically correct, and I apologize again to my colleagues out in the dancing world. I say, slush your feet. I know our mothers tell us not to do it, but if you slush your feet, you go under the dress or move the dress instead of standing
on the
dress.
Is this
for
the guys?
Yes.
Okay.
You know?
Because I think it is a big... It is. I've seen it so often, and the guys would step on the dress and she's like, like that death stare.
Because that dress is important to her. And I promise you, every bride that I've come back, they've gone, you know what, Sharice, thank you for the practical advice you gave us. So we put our brides into Big Bertha. And just because guys don't understand volume, do you know what I mean? And even if they're small, they don't have to know that. We want to make it a little bit of a surprise.
Yes.
But like, for instance, I had one groom that I only brought in Big Bertha probably about a year and a half ago. We did skirts, but not the volume of the skirt.
Yeah.
And for instance, we did this on his last lesson. And he was totally freaked out that it was touching his legs. He had this like sensory issue.
On his legs?
Like kept touching his
legs.
Did
he have shorts on when he was
shorts
doing
and
rehearsal?
Long pants. And he's like, oh, no, this is... To the point where I said, you know what? This is a half hour. I'm going to comp you the next lesson. Please come in and we'll redo this. And I now have introduced it earlier in my lessons because of that. Because people don't understand the beauty. I always say to my brides, you're dancing with two ladies. The dress... and your bride.
Oh, yeah, it's true, eh?
Because it's something you can't practice in, and it's something you have to be constantly aware of.
And neither can she practice in
it.
So she's also trying to understand it a little bit more.
My advice is when you go do those dress rehearsals for the fittings, you know, I say, okay, just rumble on the spot. See how it moves. Do a step, practice by yourself so you can see it, and then you can give me feedback and say, okay, Shaz, I'm catching it at the back.
Okay. So you can flip your flip your heel. Or
I know. Another and small stupid things, like technical things. One of the advices I give to my brides, because I don't know about you. With me, I rip the hell out of my coat. And I was in pants, so I can only imagine. Heels in dresses.
Oh, no.
It's another thing altogether. So you know what I tell my brides for just the wedding dance is the heel stoppers. Because it's less sharp, it doesn't catch as badly.
Does it not hook more?
No.
Really? Okay.
Because it's slightly bigger, it doesn't have all those very sharp edges and it's more rubber. Do you know what I mean? And also, if you've got a very thin stiletto, it balances you out for balance a little bit better. Yes. So these are all like tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
Am I giving all my tricks away?
No, it's fabulous. I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. You know, I'm sure you have a lot of people come in and say, I just can't dance.
Then for those people, they come in and say, I've got two left feet.
And they probably end up being the best out of all of them.
I say, well, I'll make one right. And then we sort it.
Okay.
I think it comes back to that perception. Oh, I'm going to look like a fool. And the people and the guy, and generally, I know I'm generalizing. Mm-hmm. It comes from my guys. And once they've done once, they go, oh, this is not so bad. Mm. We can do this.
Yeah.
It's amazing from the minute they walk in, they're very jittery, to the hour that they've spent with me, just because I'm fabulous. Mm. But that's
you
a magic
are, you
thing.
Are. My couples who come to you, they love you. So, and in terms of the type of song choice for your first dance, is there any advice that you can give on that? Because, I mean, I know sometimes they want to like have that very slow dance and then they want to break into that surprise dance.
That's a big trend at the moment.
It's a very big trend. Some people get it spot on and some people absolute disaster.
So,
first, let's talk about the song choice for the actual first dance, and then we'll go into the whole breaking into the different type of dancing, should we call it?
Yes. Okay. So often I get the call of, can you recommend me the song? And I tell them no. First of all,
I can't imagine you trying to do that because you're so different.
First of all, we haven't met. We've only probably chatted over the phone or email or something like that. And I say to them, you know what? You choose a song that is important to you and I will make the dance work to that, not the other way around. Mm. And you can't say this works, this works, this works. Every personality is different. I mean, I had a wedding that went from a Viennese waltz, beautiful song into Rob Zombie.
Oh, wow.
As a breakthrough.
Sure.
So if I can choreograph a wedding dance to Rob Zombie, I can do anything. Okay. And they were a fabulous couple. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. They're a little bit out there, a little bit different. I like the different brides. I like the ones that are willing to just try and just be themselves. Mm. And if you choose your own song, it becomes part of you.
Yes.
You do, though it's not so much in the last year. At one stage, you used to hear the same song. 1,000 Years.
Yes.
One of my favorite songs. I could sing it backwards to you because there was a stage.
I put my earphones on and I'm trying to work. And if I'm in that mood, I'll just put it on repeat because I just love it.
I love it.
There's something about it.
It is a beautiful song. But you also want to make it a unique moment for you.
Yes.
And yes, it's great for you. But I'm sure there is that one song that just says you.
Yeah.
I know back 13 odd years when I got married, I had a Def Leppard song, ballad, because strangely enough, the rock songs are actually the best slow dance ballads beat-wise.
Wow.
You won't believe.
Okay.
They're very clear. They're very on point. You can hear it. It's actually, if you take away some of the other stuff, it's some of the best ballads to dance to.
Oh, really?
Actually.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you recommend a song with a little bit more of a beat than not?
I've had some beautiful ones done to a cappella. It very much depends on the couple.
Yes. Like, and I think that's going forward in anything of the wedding. You need to make
it yours.
Anything, it needs to be yours. And, you know, I have it with when they come in and they've got all these Pinterest boards of what they want their tables to look like. And then they want me to show them pictures of weddings we've done. And you know what? I've been doing weddings for 14 years. I have a lot of weddings under my belt and I can sit for hours showing you all the stuff. But I say to them, I don't want to actually...
I want to create something unique for you.
Exactly. So, you know, you've got to make... And I'm sure it comes in with the dancing.
Very much so. I mean, there are basic elements. You have to teach them how to do a basic.
Yes.
And like I say to my brides, if you can make your basic look gorgeous, you don't need anything else.
No.
You don't need all the fancy steps. Yeah. So I call it the McKeever, the Sharis McKeever hamburger bar of dancing.
Okay. I love it.
I'm Greek, so everything relates back to food. It just makes more sense for me. So how I explain how I teach dancing is that I'm going to put this hamburger bar in front of you. Some of us like chicken. Some of us like vegetarian. Some of us like meat. Okay? We can't dictate to other people what they like.
Some just like it all.
Yes, like me. And me. I'm going to give you all the elements. I'm going to fill up your salad bar. I'm going to fill up your meat bar. Yes? And you take the elements that work for you. And the buns are going to be the coordinated beginnings and ends, the leads onto the floor. Because one of my worst things is a couple when they start in the middle of the floor and everybody's eyes on them and they feel so like they almost that time waiting for the music feels like forever.
Yes.
And everyone's staring and they get more nervous. Mm. So one of my big things, I like tying the cake cutting.
That is the best. I was just going to say that. I prefer that the cake is in the middle of the dance floor. They're there. They're focused on the cake.
It's great for photographers because they've only got one place to go. The guests' attention is in one place.
Yeah.
Cut the cake, go from that, and then lead into your first dance. Do you know what I mean? It just flows better. It makes them less stressed because they've done the whole cakey thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a lot more relaxed going at it. That and two tequilas. And then you're really good.
Like on that, you know, I mean, people are really nervous when it comes to the dance. And I've had couples, they go off for 10, 15 minutes and they do a practice round.
No.
Please don't do that to yourself. You're just going to make things worse. How do you suggest that they calm their nerves before, other than having a couple of shooters and tequilas and then not actually being able to dance because you've lost your feet altogether?
I often have clients that will come to me and go, oh no, we'll steal 5 minutes before.
No,
don't do it. If anything goes wrong for whatever reason because you're overstressed, it's going to freak you out even more for the main event.
Mm.
Don't practice on the day. Don't practice the night before.
Not even the night before.
No. They're not supposed to see
each other.
Well,
they're not supposed to see each other.
Do you know what I mean? But this comes back to, if you've seen me early enough, you're fine. We had an international couple. They were based on the ships.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they had their wedding in December, but they started with me because they have shore leave.
Yes, okay.
Started with me in the February of that year.
Mm.
And they just started with, like, 3 or 4 dance, got their things done. And then they came back to me just before the wedding. And they said, you can't believe the difference and stress level it does, is that they had it was like riding a bicycle, and it just made it little bit stress-free. So if you can give your dance teacher, or me, because I'm fabulous, 2 months, you know what I mean? Don't come to, say, the month of the wedding or earlier. Rather go every second week to stretch out your budget, because budget is a big thing. And, you know, we sometimes don't always look at what all the other suppliers cost. We only see what we cost.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Do it every second week. Do 45 minutes instead of an hour from a costing point. There's so many creative ways to get it done, but rather start earlier.
Yeah.
You're going to find it. I always say kickstart. I work with Soundworks, and every time they book a client they for their weddings, I give a free dance lesson. Now, this is great advertising. I'm very pro on networking and building each other up, but it's also getting them into the studio. And I can guarantee almost within 5 lessons, we can get something going. Yes, it's not an extravaganza, but not everybody wants to do an extravaganza.
No.
And 4 is a great starter, because you asked this to me in the beginning of the show. 4 is a great starter. Well, it's 5 with the free.
Four, 5 lessons.
I always say start with those,
because
you can always add on when you go. One of my biggest things, and when I was running my big studios, is that I heard a number of studios taking away houses based on contracts that went void. And the money, and it drives. I'm like, how can you do that to somebody over dance lessons?
Yes.
You're creating such a negative perception.
Yeah.
And anybody who's worked for me as a teacher or my students know, yes, we'll sign a contract because it's an understanding. Mm. Yes. But life changes. If you, in 3 months, get a overseas job.
Mm.
Do you want to be tied into a year contract?
No.
You come to me and say, Sharis, listen, I'll pay up for the lessons that we've already taught. Great. I know it messes with cash flow to a certain degree, because you do plan on these things, but you can't things change.
And life remember, Charis, not every supplier is like that.
No, not at all.
Don't do that to your photographer or your venue. You are in for the full amount. Yes. So just yes. be careful on
no.
that.
No, I know a lot of suppliers, but I'm that, you know, for dance lessons, it's easy to... I'm talking in a dance space
and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, with talking about photographers, if you book them, they've only booked you for that day. They don't have anybody else.
Mm.
Where we are multiple through the night, we're not with you necessarily on the day. Though I've been invited to a couple of my couple's weddings, and it's so awesome. And I remember one distinctly coming off the dance floor, and he was like tall. He was like 7 foot, you know, kind of, and the kind that has to bend your head to get through the door, tall. And he comes off, and I was at the back because I always get very teary after I see any of my competition guys. And I think I get more nervous for them watching them than anything else. They're like my babies. I'll have to let them fly. And he comes off and he doesn't say anything. He just puts both thumbs and then he goes if you could see me, both hands in the air. And that to me, it still gives me shivers when I hear it. That to me means it's going well. Wedding couples don't have to be showcase competition dancers.
No.
They don't have to be.
It's got to be a celebration of your love.
Yes.
And
eye contact. Look at your partner. I don't know.
And feel them.
Yes.
Like
look at them. And you want to be with them.
You want to like
love them.
Enjoy the party and then enjoy the night afterwards. It's like a romantic thing.
I should actually become like a registered marriage counselor because dancing is like going through like counseling. I say, you know, my gents always start with their left leg, but women are always right. because we have this fight. Because we have this fight of who's going to be in control. And I say, listen, on this dance floor, you must, if he wants to do basic the entire time, you need to listen to him.
Yeah.
And this is like a marriage. You need to this give and take. You need that when we talk about dancing and resistance and frame, it's like marriage. You have to give a little. Take a little. Give. You, it can't be all about you or all about me.
Yeah.
It's a partnership.
Oh, so romantic. So cool. I'm just thinking about
I can talk about dance all day.
But
I
now
love
tell
it.
Me, Charis, like this whole trend of these. Okay, first of all, I just want to, like, when it comes to the first dance, we've got the surprise dance thing that's going on and it's taking weddings by storm. But then we've also got, where couples don't necessarily feel comfortable on the dance floor and they want their retinue to join in.
Yes.
And from a planner side of things, I've often seen that the couple are actually enjoying, they didn't realize they would enjoy their dance so much on the night. And then everybody joins in and then it's just, it tends to be lost and they lose that connection. So, you know, yes, I encourage couples, if they're not very confident on the dance floor, to get their retinue to come in. But their retinue also needs to be briefed. If they feel that that couple is really actually enjoying that, maybe leave them a little bit longer. So what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so retinue dancers is always a scheduling nightmare.
And everybody wants to be better than the other.
and it's just to get everybody there and all in sync.
Yeah.
Because the thing with retinue dancing, it's like line dancing. Mm. Practically, it's line dancing.
Mm.
And the wow factor comes in that you all do it in the same time.
Exactly.
Which needs practice. Mm. It doesn't just happen.
And it's not like you've got... I mean, generally, it will be the bride and the groom, possibly three bridesmaids, three groomsmen. So what we're sitting at... Eight people
already on a dance floor.
And they're not dancers.
Yes. And one thing I say to my brides, also if they have to, you know, the whole joining of opening the dance floor.
Yes.
I say to them, you need a minimum of 3 minutes by yourself.
Okay.
And they go, 3 minutes is a long time. And then when I get to the end of the lessons, they're going, 3 minutes isn't long enough. I'm like, yes, if you just listen to us from the beginning.
Whoopsie.
I keep bouncing this thing because I'm very graphic with my
hands.
Yeah,
those hands don't stop.
And I say you need a minimum of 2.5 to 3 minutes by yourself. If you're going to have people join or if you rather have your song, because generally songs are between 3 and 4 minutes, 2.5 to 4 minutes, depending on if it's a ballad or whatever. Don't share your song with somebody else, as my advice.
Okay.
If you're going to bring in somebody onto your floor, be it guests, be it your book, give them a fade into something else that is
and who also would becomes be, their song. Who would help you? Who would help a couple do that? Would the DJ take that responsibility of helping with
the
fading?
No, I do, because I also do all the music editing as well.
Oh, do you? Okay, fabulous. Charis, I'm sure a lot of people are going to want your number after this.
As part of my thing also, because it is so hard, and I understand music and I understand how to put things together. Mm. And it's really not that hard. It's not like I'm not comparing myself to any DJ or anything. Mm. It's just basic fading in and out and with basics. Okay. You know, the knowledge and whatever we need to do, or cutting it at the right place, because I've got a very good ear for that. I help them out. It's part of who I am. Okay. It's part of being, I'm saying I go back to being Greek. It's like, feed me more.
Feed
me more. Yeah, have more. It's okay. I want it to be better.
Make people
feel
comfortable.
At the end of the day, this is my reputation.
Yes.
Because I don't want them to go, this is also why I don't like doing just one lesson. Because they go, oh, we went for a dance lesson. And they look.
Who did your dance? Who taught you?
And what can I achieve in 1 hour? It's very hard.
So that retinue, yes, let's go to that. Okay. I mean, I've seen,
I think it also depends on the personality of the bride and groom.
Yes.
What I am finding is that the more outspoken the bride and groom, they're more willing to bring people on, not the other way around, strangely enough. When they don't want 101 people, or normally when they're a little bit more shy, a little bit more reserved, I did a fantastic one. It was at the Johannesburg Country Club in the Rainbow Room. And this is another big pointer that I so promote a venue run through with me. Like, we can get into the
space. Do venues generally allow it?
Yes. I haven't had one venue that's actually said, long as we go within their time schedules.
Yes, in the evenings, during the week.
Evening, during the week, not between, not on wedding, hectic wedding sessions. And normally I tell them this in the beginning of our sessions so that they can book ahead.
And to the couples out there, why not ask them? You know, don't think venues are going to say
no. People get like confused, like directionally confused, and then they go, oh, but we started this way in the studio. Why can't we start like this?
It's so true.
And sometimes we can space because we don't understand the spacing, because we say we always guidelines.
And the surface of the dance floor.
Yes. Big.
Shame. I've had a bride, and it was an Afrikaans couple, and she had a big dress. They didn't go for dance lessons because he was like, I can dance and I will do the socky. And he spun her around, and she ended up catching her heel on the dress, and she fell flat on her bum, but she felt the bump, you know, like the bump on the floor, but it actually looked so graceful because she had quite a big.
It just poofed up
like you would see, and she
got a marshmallow, just like sitting on a marshmallow.
That's it. And the photographer got beautiful images, but on the night, she
was probably devastated.
It was the end of the world. I ended up having to take her away, calm her down, and you know, like give her a couple of drinks.
Because you can also understand, we've done this on a regular basis. We're there every weekend. Yeah. Weddings are like. They're wonderful and romantic, but we understand this.
Yes.
For them, it's this one night that they've spent all this money, all this time. And yes, it does have to be perfect, but it's life.
Yeah.
Let it be. And the more stressed you're out, you're not going to enjoy yourself. Mm. And that's why I say eat and drink beforehand. Mm. Is that the Greek thing coming up? I love eating and drinking.
You know, I think with social media and YouTube videos being shared of all the disaster first dances, you know what? In all the weddings that I've done, I've only ever had one disaster. So, you know, I think the couples see these disasters and think, oh my gosh, it's going to happen to me.
It's not.
The chances are actually very slim. And if it does, hey, well, it's, you know, everyone will remember it and you laugh about it years afterwards, you know.
And I probably go through 5 to 6 wedding couples a month just because I just specialize in wedding couples. That's quite a few over the couple years that I've been teaching.
And you've probably never had a disaster.
I've had one, and I'll tell you what it is. She said that a little child, she was also in a big puffy dress, ran across the dance floor.
Under her dress.
Almost kind of in her dress. She didn't fall over or anything, but that's been the biggest disaster that my brides, because I normally chat back onto the brides, see how they're doing and whatever else. That is the biggest disaster I've had in 10 years. And that's a lot of brides going through my hands. So I think it's more, again, that build up.
And it's the social media hype.
Yes.
We all are sometimes our own worst enemies. Yes. And we build up this whole expectation and the disaster happening in your head and in your dreams and whatever else.
Oh, yes.
Just chill out.
You talk about those retinues and how we break into this dance and how it works for some people. and really doesn't work for the other because you're trying to force the situation. Mm. And strangely enough, the breakthrough has happened more in father-daughter dances, where we've gone for this very soft, romantic butterfly kisses.
Yes.
And then it goes into this heavy, like, breakup beat. And it has been on the personality of the couple.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Which is very, very important.
Yeah. And then, like, I've heard people wanting to put talcum powder on the dance floor to stop them from slipping.
You know,
is there any particular dance floor type that you like? Because, I mean, a lot of couples like to, now it's a trend to have a white dance floor or a black dance floor. Is there any dance floor style or type that you have a preference to?
No. You know what? That is not for me to define the dancing and whatnot. Mm. A little trick of the trade is actually putting coke on the bottom of your shoes. It actually becomes sticky and you actually have better grip on the floor, which is actually really... So I said, no, don't put talcum powder, you'll slip. Coca-Cola.
Coke. Do you just dip your feet in the Coke?
Coca-Cola is a miracle drink. It's my go-to go-go juice. You can de-rust just about anything. That's not saying very much for Coca-Cola. And you can put it on the bottom of your shoes to actually make it grip the floor better.
Oh,
small
wow.
little tip. But you know what? At the end of the day, with anything for your wedding, have fun. If you're not having fun and if you're not smiling, I've got this little antidote. If you frown, your whole body goes,
I know.
You have little strings on your mouth. If you smile, your whole body goes, oh, I'm so much lighter. Do you know what I mean?
I'm so in love.
Yes. And I say, well, if you fake it till you make it, because they're like, he's not listening to me. I get these devil looks.
And it does.
And I said, fake it till you make it. And I promise you, within a minute of just smiling, you feel better.
Yes.
Smiles are this amazing antidote to life in general.
Yes.
Smile. Fake it till you make it.
And
then you'll actually feel better and enjoy it. That's the biggest thing.
And
enjoy
stop
it.
Overthinking it.
Yes. And have fun. And give yourself time and relax. Oh, there's so much more.
Oh,
talk
there's
forever.
So much more. And Charis, it's been an awesome one. And to the couples out there that are stressing about those first dances and the dancing and all that type of thing, you know, Charis, tell us how a couple would be able to get hold of you.
Okay, so you can either go through Soundworks or I am on Facebook under Caliente. It's Caliente, Facebook Caliente. Or you could phone the wedding specialist or the crazy lemon that we're with the design studio that we're working out of. Mm-hmm. And speak to us.
Lovely.
The thing is, talk to us.
You have a lot of fun. I must be honest, Charis actually taught us our our dancing for our wedding, and we had a lot of fun. And I mean, I think Jacques walked away, and I mean, really, Jacques does have two left feet. I think you will agree with me. But afterwards, it was just amazing to see how my husband was so much more confident on the dance floor. And I kept saying to him, because I said, To be honest with you, I didn't want to go for dance lessons
because
so many people I've seen are so staged and they don't enjoy it.
And
I said to my husband, I don't really want to do it, but I knew you and I know how crazy you are. So I said, okay, come babe, let's go. And you know, he was just so much more comfortable on the dance floor. Yeah. And the love for each other actually ended up showing in that dance. And I think that's what the advice I can give to any
couple. It's not about the steps. It's about the love.
It's about the love. It has, there's not often, sometimes people don't do the throwing of the bouquet or whatever, but you actually do, you can't really get away from the first dance.
Yes.
People are expecting it. So make sure you enjoy it and have fun in the process leading up to it.
And it's your time. Enjoy your time. When else do you get a spot like that unless you're on a competition floor? Please.
But you like that. Most people don't like being the center of attention, but unfortunately on the day you are.
Have fun
with it. And Charis, I've had a lot of fun.
It's been the first
time I've actually been without Ntombi, and I've had lots of fun. Awesome. Ntombi, we are missing you, my friend.
Yes, no, definitely.
So
catch
up with us next week Thursday at 10 o'clock, and we look forward to catching up with you again. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. CliffCentral.com.